Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the Ecom Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven and eight figure brand owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And today, catching up with someone who I'm guessing a lot of you know, Mike Jackness was, and you know, was, he didn't die. He's still very much with us, but he was someone who was in the e-commerce space for years, 10 plus years. He was part of Ecom Crew, which was a community and podcast in the e-commerce space, which is still very much active, being run by our friend David Bryant. Shout out to him. But man, 2-3 years ago, after a long run in e-com, Mike decided to change gears a bit. He ended up getting out of the e-com game, doing something different. Right now, he runs a brand that's about 16, 18 months old. It's called Desert Degens. It's content-based, it's YouTube-based, all around the kind of the slot and gambling content space in Vegas. And I wanted to have him on for a couple of reasons. One, to get his thoughts on, you know, why he decided to leave e-com, what the transition has been like, what he's learned from doing a content business, what he's learned about YouTube, and also just kind of because he was such a, you know, such a key person in the e-com space, I thought a lot of people listening would enjoy hearing what he's been up to. That was, and bringing him back for a quick little walk down memory lane, thought it'd be kind of fun. So anyway, I hope you enjoy it, especially if you were a fan of Mike's e-com content or the stuff over at Ecom Crew. One thing before we get going, the hardest part of running an e-com business isn't working hard. It's knowing where the work actually moves the needle. And that's why we built the benchmarking guide for e-com owners. Every year, we survey 300 store owners inside the Ecom Fuel private community. It's our community for seven and eight figure owners, representing over $3.5 billion in revenue. And we built a benchmarking table, which breaks their numbers down by revenue cohort. So you can see exactly where you're outperforming and where you're leaving money on the table compared to businesses your exact size. It comes with our full annual trends report, and it's free at ecommercefuel.com/blueprint. All right, let's get into it. Mike, I gave you an intro at the very top. I gave people a sense, if they don't know you, which I'm guessing is not a lot of people because you were in the e-com world in a pretty meaningful way for so long. But man, good to have you back on the podcast, my friend.
Yes, sir. It's good to be here. I'm scared to know what the intro was. I know how you work, man. So it could be a little spicy. Yeah, but it's good to see your face, my friend. And it's good to chat.
Yeah, thank you. All sorts of scandalous promises you're going to have to fulfill here in the next 45 minutes. So
I'll do my best.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, it's excited to get into the story. And it's very rare. I wouldn't say never, but very rare we, you know, kind of do an episode about like, hey, why did you leave e-com? What are you doing now? But you were in e-com for so long. It was a big part of not just your business model, but your identity. You had, of course, Ecom Crew, which is still alive and very much well with David Bryant, but not something you're involved with day-to-day anymore, and completely switched business models. And I think it's just like, obviously, I'm biased. Most people listening here, if they're in the e-com world, are biased. And it's easy to, big fan of e-commerce, even with some of the headwinds here, I still think it's a compelling business model. But I don't know, it's good to like hear from people on the outside occasionally, especially when they've been so steeped in it for so long. So I think when we can start is like, why did you make the decision to leave e-com? Was it because what went into that? Was it you had something you wanted to chase? Was this Desert Degen something that you knew you wanted to do? Or was it like, hey, I want to leave e-com and then I'll figure it out later? Like what went into that decision?
Yeah. So when I left e-com, there was no Desert Degens. It wasn't even a thought process. I had done, after leaving e-com, I actually ended up doing some land investing and stuff for a bit in between. For the first time in a very long time, even though I still own an e-commerce business at that point, and I was still doing Ecom Crew with Dave, I had nothing really to do. Like I was sitting there for a couple of weeks in Hawaii. I didn't even open my laptop for 2 weeks. Like legitimately was like just disconnected. Dave knew I was going on vacation. We had all our work done. The other business I had was all Amazon business at that point. And they're just, you know, you can go away for a couple of weeks and not think about much. And, you know, in terms of the business. And so I was like, okay, what's the next e-commerce business? Like, what do I see the future of e-commerce looking like if I'm going to start over from scratch, everything I know now? And it's always a fun spot to be in life because like you don't get these opportunities very often. Clean slate, I'm going to start another e-commerce business. What is that going to look like? What's the capital going to be? What's the time investment, the amount of stress, everything that goes into that? And at some point, kind of a bug got in my head of, well, does it have to be e-commerce? You know, like, I mean, if you have a clean slate, you can go do anything, almost 50 years old. You know, is this the thing? Do I have the ability to deal with this much stuff anymore? And it was kind of humbling because, you know, as you get older, realizing that you can't do what you used to do when you were younger was a hard thing to come to grips with. Because, I mean, stress now affects me a lot differently than it did when I was 30. Like, I started having heart palpitations and, like, don't sleep right. And I went to the hospital once thinking I was having a heart attack. And they're like, oh, you're having a panic attack. And it was really, really embarrassing. And these were things that didn't happen when I was 30. And I guess at the end of the day, with, like, all that said, decide that it was time to hang up my econ hat.
We're going to get into the specifics of the new business model and all those kind of things. But I think as a potential counterpoint and kind of bookend to that, a couple years into this new business model, what are the things, if there are any, that you miss about e-commerce that, like, you know, the grass is always greener, right? Then you go on the other side and you're like, ooh, I didn't realize there's some really good things. What are there, and what, if so, what are those things about e-com that you miss?
The only real thing that I miss about e-commerce, and this is, like, without getting emotional, I'm almost starting to cry just thinking about it, is the people. Like, truly. Like, I really don't miss the business much. What I'm doing now is so much easier. Like, and it's still a hard business, but, like, e-com, I mean, anybody that's listening that's in the e-commerce, that was the thing that was, I think, amazing, is we had this camaraderie. Like, it was like an unspoken bond. Like, everyone understood just how freaking difficult an e-commerce business is. Again, really rewarding. There's lots of people that I know that, you know, made life-changing amounts of money. We did very, very well in e-commerce. You know, I'm not sure that I would do much differently. Ironically, we're kind of getting back into e-commerce because we sell merchandise now. But I haven't run a single ad. We don't run a warehouse. It's all print on demand. And we sell things at full margin because people really want our stuff. So maybe the long game is e-commerce in some really funny way again.
You can't get away from it, man. People keep buying stuff.
The only real thing that I miss about e-commerce is the people. Like, I miss you. I miss Bill. I miss hanging out with Dave all the time, Steve. I mean, we talk every now and then, but, like, this is just human nature. This is something I thought a lot about as well as I was making my decision. I'm like, this is just how life is. Like, we will talk less and less each year. You know, everyone's got their lives, and, you know, while we're friends and been through a lot of stuff, you know, this is just what happens.
It's an interesting, one of the things I think is interesting is you were kind of at a point where you still had some e-com assets, but it was an easier transition for you. You didn't have a huge e-com business, correct me if I'm wrong, at that point that you were kind of, that was operating well, that was making money. And I think, like, it's two very different decisions to say, okay, my opportunity cost is lower now and I can pivot to something with less kind of giving up these assets that I have, which is kind of the position you're in. Versus if you do have a big e-commerce store, especially if it is working well and it is stressful, that's harder. But even you still had, like, you had the opportunity, you mentioned it though, you had a network in e-com, you had a knowledge base in e-com. And so you can't just in a vacuum say, even if e-com is harder than, say, new fancy trend or business model A, B, or C, it's not just as easy as that because you have to weigh it relative to your competitive advantage.
No, I mean, it was like I said, it was a very difficult decision. You know, like the e-commerce business that we had left, I mean, it was ice wraps. I mean, people know me from that. Hopefully the guy I sold it to doesn't have a problem with me talking about just a little bit here. You know, it was a business that I had started or bought in 2015, I think. It was right when I met you and joined Ecom Fuel. That was the first, like, e-commerce. That was kind of the business that I joined Ecom Fuel for. I mean, we had built it up to seven figures. You know, we were making 25% net. On that business, 27% net in 2015. By the time I sold it, it was 2%, literally 2% net. Like, just, you know, you think about every little thing, death by 1,000 paper cuts, manufacturers raising their price, tariffs are increasing, compliance costs are up, Amazon adds this fee, they add that fee. They you know, you think you finally got it, they add another fee. Ad costs were going up. Prices are coming down because there's more and more, somebody, you know, in India or China is willing to, like, be in their mom's basement in their underwear selling a 2% margin, and they're happy because that's a lot of money to them. It just was, the math wasn't mathing anymore.
Mike, that was an Amazon business, Amazon primarily business with kind of resold products, right?
That's right. I mean, it was a, you know, white label you know, buying them from a manufacturer, putting our name on it. We had some competitive advantage because we were sourcing half our products from Canada. Actually sold it right before the Trump-Harris election. And so like I also was thinking in my mind that more tariff struggles were going to be coming. I thought that, you know, without getting into politics here, I mean, I just was making a bet on, I thought that Trump was going to win, just looking at the landscape. And that meant more tariff struggles, kind of brought back some PTSD of the first time around of all of a sudden out of nowhere, there's tariffs. Or that it's like, it reminded me of Wayne's World. It's like game on, game off, game on, game off, you know, where they're playing hockey in the street. And so after I sold the business and all that was happening, I was like, yeah, I'm glad I'm not going through that right now, and felt bad for my friends that were.
So how did how did you come up with the idea for Desert Degens? And I kind of gave people a high level overview of the concept of the model on the intro, but how did you come up with the idea and how did you settle on the idea of tackling this?
Yeah. So, I mean, I knew I wanted to do YouTube. In fact, when I was sitting in Hawaii on this lanai thinking through what would be next, YouTube was like the leading candidate in land, like the two things that I come up with. And so I ended up doing the land thing for a while, and it was going really, really well. And then it really wasn't. And so it was kind of like this short lived stint. And so I ended up just kind of winding the land thing down, decided I was going to go do YouTube. And when I was thinking, okay, I want to do YouTube, I hadn't picked up an actual thing yet. There were a lot of things that were on the top of my mind. Like, this is things that I think I could be good at, I would be interested in. And so one category was like something to do with Vegas. I hadn't quite made up my mind what that was yet. But we live in Vegas. I love Vegas. I love to gamble. I used to actually have a problem gambling. But now it's just like more, we've hung out quite a bit. We'll gamble. Like, I'll be like, let's bet on this, let's bet on that. It's always for like a dollar. Like, I'm never like looking to bet any amount of money that's going to like hurt somebody or, you know, make people enemies or make it to the point where it's uncomfortable. I love competition. It's like that part of it. So, you know, I love being here. I love a lot of things about this community and living here. Vegas was like a top of thing. And the other big one was sports cards, was another thing that I love. I thought would make a really great YouTube channel, but ultimately decided to go the route of Vegas. And then, you know, depending on how much time we have here, I can get into why it ended up being specifically slot content. And when I decided it was going to be that, immediately, you know, one of my best friends here, Ryan, that I do this with, we have been talking about doing something together I've known each other almost 20 years. So we've been talking about doing something together forever. And it's funny, when I brought this up to him in December of, I guess, 2024, I didn't even finish my sentence before he said yes. I mean, it was like literally that, like, I'm in, let's go. I'll go ride on any train with you. Let's go do it. And so I finished my sentence. He was like still a yes. And within 2 weeks, we filmed our first video and posted our first video on January 9th, 2025. And we have not missed a day since then.
Wow. That's amazing. It is, like I said, I give people a high level concept, but maybe get a little bit into why you picked slots and even maybe even more. When I first heard that you were doing a YouTube channel about playing the slot machines, I was like, how do you make content around that? Cause you sit down I've never really done a lot of slots, but in my mind's eye, you sit down, you put money in, you pull a lever, either you win or you don't, repeat. It's like, how could you create an entire YouTube channel, daily videos that are 20, 30, 40 minutes? I mean, I couldn't comprehend it. So, and I imagine other people probably have that same mental block. So what are we getting wrong?
I mean, it kind of comes into like, so what was already existing there was just, you know, it's the personality, right? It's why do people listen to Howard Stern or to, you know, whatever. It's you're buying a personality. And so people, I think, relate to people that are relatable to in their life. So like a lot of the gambling content on there was, or is still, like young kids being irresponsible, talking in a way that, you know, young men do. I think we've all been there in our lives, you know, whatever, acting like actual degenerates and doing crazy stuff, cursing and, you know, talking about whatever, the things that we don't even talk about even on this podcast. But, you know, that was kind of the leading content. The most popular people were either doing that or betting like this sensationalized amount of money. It was like, you know, it was becoming like a chest pounding contest a lot within that community, and still is, of I'm going to make a $25 spin. Well, I'll make a $50 spin. I said, well, I'm going to make a $100 spin. And now you got people that are literally making $1,000 spins on slot machines, putting in $250,000, and just really it becomes like you're like looking at into the total eclipse of, you know, of the sun, like trying not to burn your eyes, sensationalism. And so that was kind of like what was already there. And so it just became, can we put something together that's different in a way where we're uniquely ourselves, where we're not having to like really act in a way that's uncomfortable or that isn't ourselves, and make something that people will relate to and latch onto. And that's what we've done. I mean, and it's gone pretty well.
What have you learned about YouTube in a year plus of doing this? I mean, you've been, like you said, a video a day for, you know, 15, 16 months straight. I think you guys are up to like 40, 50,000-ish subscribers in a year, which is awesome. What have you learned about YouTube in that time?
There's not a lot of good things about getting older. You know, the ones that I can come up with are wisdom and knowledge. And so, you know, it wasn't my first rodeo with YouTube. I mean, we had our YouTube channel from Ecom Crew. And the only thing that I think that we had a problem with YouTube before that is that, you know, one of my big problems was just doing too many things. And we'd have three or four or five e-commerce businesses plus Ecom Crew, plus who knows else, what else is going on. And so it just didn't get the attention that it really needed. And then, you know, we were in a partnership, Dave and I, and it'd be like, well, would it be hard to come up with what exactly is the content that was going to be and who's going to do what? And it was always a back burner thing. And so, you know, it's really just been a lesson of consistency and hard work on almost anything pays off. You know, this is the only thing I'm doing. And it's been, you know, almost since day one, we stopped doing the land thing a couple months into this. I mean, this is the only thing I've been doing for over a year. Nothing else to focus on or think about. I wish I was doing that in e-commerce now that I kind of look back at it, because I think that, you know, it's you put all your energy into one thing, you're going to get way more out of it rather than trying to run three or four different brands at once and a bunch of other things. So, you know, consistency, you know, just ignoring the stats and just doing the work and the rest will come later has really worked out.
From an engagement or a commenting or just the views perspective on a tactical side, anything that surprised you in terms of outsized impact of, obviously thumbnails are super important, titles are important, how important commenting has been on the tactical side, anything that you guys have kind of pivoted with or changed from back in your old Ecom Crew channel to launching this and seeing it day in and day out that has made a difference apart from the consistency?
Yeah, I mean, the videos that do the best for us are like strategy, systems, and comparisons. Like, people love that stuff. And so I think, you know, the one thing that we really, you kind of got to listen to your audience and look at, okay, these are the videos. You put out videos for 3 months straight, go back and look at what are the ones that have the outsized views and subscriber growth, and just listen to that. And so it took some time. We kind of pivoted from a perspective of that was not the type of content I thought we were going to put out that would do well to begin with. I thought we would just go play, and the bigger we played, the more views we would get, and the more antics we had, it turned out that we didn't need to do that. I mean, the thing that's done well has been bankroll management, conserving our bankroll, trying to walk out of the casino with money, trying to play certain types of system, which is really just betting patterns on a slot. You're never going to win. Like, we're very clear about that. You're never going to win long term. The casino's there for a reason, but you can do better. And we've really, and we took an Ecom Crew principle of like, we're going to release a monthly income report of how we did playing slots, the same way that we did how we were doing in e-commerce. And we were like, you know, losing. And we've turned that around. And so it puts you, makes you accountable. And we're trying to teach people to be responsible.
When you say turn that around, do you mean like you've limited the amount of net loss over time? Or do you mean like you've actually been able to make money? Because you wouldn't be able to do it on slot machines, right? Like the odds are long-term negative.
We are on track to make money playing slots this year. I know it sounds absolutely bonkers. Now, in a nutshell, we aren't making money playing slots, but there's a lot of other things in a casino that you can take advantage of holistically to be able to do well. We get a lot of free play, get a lot of slot tournaments. We get a lot of meals and ancillary other things that help even the field for us. And we've done a good job of taking advantage of all of that.
That's cool. And from a monetization standpoint, are you planning on just kind of the general YouTube ad revenue that you can generate once you get to that level? Is there Is there other offerings? You mentioned merchandise. How are you thinking about monetizing the business?
Yeah, so I thought, my theory was from day one, it'll kind of be like a third would be my eventual hope for kind of the revenue stream. So a third from YouTube AdSense revenue, a third from, like merchandise sales, and a third from affiliate or some sort of other partnerships. And so, for the first year, it was 100% YouTube, because like there is no party out there that's interested in partnering with you, and no one's buying your clothing yet because you're really small. But slowly over time, we sell more and more merchandise. We're leaving to go to Atlantic City in 48 hours of recording this, and they're paying for everything. Like they're paying for our flights, our hotel, giving us free play. They're actually paying us to be there. Things are really starting to materialize in a meaningful way. We had same thing happen in San Diego last month. We went down to Jamul and did that. We were down in Arizona as well. And so, casinos are willing to and eager to have us come to their property, promote their property. We have a business sense that a lot of other influencers don't have. We treat people with respect. We don't act like prima donnas coming in there. We've all worked with influencers on the e-commerce side and know what that can be like. And so I try not to be that guy. And same thing with Ryan. We're really personable with that. And it's opening up a lot of doors now. And so, at first they were just willing to let us come there. Like we should be honored just to come there. And then it was like, we'll give you a free room. And now it's like, we'll give you room, food, flights, travel, everything, spa, and some free play. Here's a contract. We'll pay you. And we always disclose all that in our videos. We're very careful with that because we want to make sure people understand that. Because when we're going there and they're giving us free play, we have an advantage that the regular person coming there wouldn't. So we make sure we disclose all that. But yeah, I mean, now we're really starting to hit on all cycles.
Got it. That's cool. Well, Mike, congrats, man. It's been fun watching you make the pivot and enjoy it and be able to do something different. And yeah, if you want to check it out, Desert Degens is the name of the YouTube channel. You can Google it, or we'll put a link to the channel in the show notes too. And yeah, man, we miss you in e-com. I mean, I know it was the right move for you, but you're missed in the e-com world, my friend.
I'd love to come do a talk. Steve and I were talking about it for Seller Summit. I just wasn't able to. We actually were in Washington, D.C. like the week before. We had an opportunity to go there. But it'd be cool to come talk about YouTube, because I have learned a lot about YouTube. And I think that YouTube is a tremendous opportunity for e-commerce. You think about, let's use pets. Like I'm thinking of Bill. You could have a whole YouTube channel about taking care of your dog, training your dog, caring for your dog. I'm a big dog person myself. Like you're constantly looking up, why is my dog itching, scratching? You have all the content that can push to your products. And I'm very pro YouTube. And it's, it's tough when you're an e-commerce business and it's a distraction. Do you have the time to build it up, et cetera, et cetera? But it's been fun from this perspective of like, again, we're lucky to be in a spot in our lives where I was able to just say, I don't care how this thing ends up doing. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go have fun. I think that after a year or two, it's going to be well worth it. And we'll just see how it plays out. And it has been. So like not having all that pressure on you and be able to then just go have fun. Because like 90% of what we do now is like, I just show up and have fun. There's always going to be something that's not great. So I don't want to ever make something sound perfect because nothing's perfect. But for the most part at this point, like our day looks like we go in at 10 o'clock now. Instead of, we were going at 8 a.m. So we go in at 10 o'clock from 10 to 2, 4 days a week. We go into the casino and record content. So we're done by 2, got the whole rest of the day, go do whatever the heck we want. 2 days a week, we go do a live stream. We have one day that we're not in the casino at all. And, I'm the one that manages the team and like make sure that the stuff kind of gets out. So that's the less sexier part. But for the most part, I'm going to like casino every day doing something that I enjoy with someone I love to be with. He's one of my best friends. And we just BS and like put that on YouTube and it works. it's fun.
Yeah. It's amazing. A lot of times I'll say, people ask me if I like my job and I say, I like what I do 80% of the time. And I think that's about as good as it gets, right? Like you're never going to have anything that is super meaningful. That's just, 100% just feels like you're eating ice cream in a lounge chair all day. It just doesn't exist. Unless you're eating ice cream in a lounge chair all day, and that doesn't end up so good.
You can put that on YouTube. That could be your business.
Oh, man.
Just licking ice cream all day. Someone will watch it. You never know.
Before and afters on that would be interesting. Well, Mike, Dude, good to connect with you after a while. I know we've been trying for a while, so it's super good to hear. I know a lot of people will really enjoy kind of hearing just a check-in from you and how things shaped up. Congrats on the new venture and how things are going on that. And I sneak over from time to time and check out your newest video, watch what's going on, and it's been fun.
Check it out.
Yeah. So anyway, Desert Degens, check out the YouTube channel. Mike, good catching up with you, man. Again, like I said, appreciate everything you did for ecom. You will be remembered well in that space. And yeah, dude, always good to be able to talk with you again.
Let's do this again in like 6 months or a year and see how things are going from a YouTube perspective then.
Love it. Sounds good, man. All right. Good luck out there.
Before I let you go, we asked 300 store owners to rate their financial knowledge on a scale of 1 to 5. 80% of them rated themselves a 4 or below. And here's the crazy thing. The jump from a 4 to a 5 is where everything changes. Owners who made that leap from a 4 to a 5 had nearly double the financial runway. Not 10% more, double. And by runway, I mean cash in the bank. That last step from pretty good to I really know this stuff is one of the most valuable jumps you can make as an operator. The Financial Mastery Series that we built out at Ecom Fuel is built to get you there. It's a free course built for ecom owners, and you can grab it at ecommercefuel.com/mastery. And if you're a 7 or 8-figure owner who wants to be around other owners at this level, thinking about this day in and day out, you'll want to check out our community at ecommercefuel.com. Work hard, adventure often, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.